It is time to get started with service. Welcome back to Anchor Baptist Church. If you would find a seat and grab a hymnal, our first hymn this morning, 296, Follow On. Hymn number 296, 296, Follow On, 296. 296 there on the first.
Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow, follow on, walking in His footsteps till the crown be won.
We'll open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for another opportunity to gather together freely. Lord, I just would pray that you would be with us all for the services, both this morning and this evening, that you would open our ears to the preaching and fill Pastor and the men preaching this evening with your Spirit as they preach your word. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For our next hymn, number 145, It Is Well With My Soul, 145, and we do want to do this in parts in the chorus. So I think many of you are probably familiar with It Is Well With My Soul, but that top part in the chorus, the It Is Well, is the ladies on the top, and then the men do the bottom portion, and of course the rest of it you sing all together. Just sing it in parts, 145, It Is Well With My Soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
Baptist Church. This time we'll go through our announcements. If you don't have a bulletin, please raise your hand and an usher will come and bring you one. You'll see on the front of our bulletin there, Genesis chapter number 1, verse 5. And we're stocked up on ice cream for Wednesday. So nice, fresh ice cream for all the kids under 18 that can quote that to any adult non-family member. So keep working hard on that. On the inside, you'll see our service times are listed. Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 4:30, and our Wednesday Bible study through Proverbs at 7 o'clock. We do also have all of our soul winning times listed below there. And of course, Saturday is our soul winning rally. Yesterday, we got to do our SWAT team soul winning action team whenever there's like a tragedy in our neighborhood, our community here. And so there was an apartment where this week there was a homicide and an attempted suicide that didn't work. And we went there and we got five people saved yesterday. And I think these SWAT team soul winning times are super, super fun. Now, I understand maybe it's not for everyone, and if we're ever doing a SWAT team soul winning and you're like, hey, I would like a regular nonviolent place map, I will always give that to you. You will not be judged whatsoever. But I think it's fun to go where the crazy stuff happens, and so we had a great time. We also have some SWAT team merch now, which this is like a little Velcro patch. Anyone is welcome to grab them. They're at the front. Just one per person, please. But yeah, these are free for everyone. Feel free to grab those. So lots of fun there. We do have also our year-to-date statistics for soul winning and baptisms. We're at 1522 for the year. Praise God for that. And Brother Theodore is still in the Philippines, so we're still getting weekly updates from him and his soul winning as well. So please keep him in prayer. Upcoming events, of course, this evening is our men's preaching night. We've got four guys signed up for this evening. And then we will have a potluck and game night immediately after. So make sure to stick around for that. This upcoming Saturday is the Anadarko, Oklahoma Soul Winning Marathon. There is a sign-up sheet in the back. It's still not too late. If you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you for sure. August 27th through the 31st is the Fire-Breathing Baptist Fellowship at Steadfast Baptist Church, just right around the corner. And also very soon is the Bahamas Missions Trip. That is October 6th through the 11th. Really excited about that trip coming up. And this morning I'm preaching a sermon kind of in preparation for that trip, just to get us in the right mindset. And so very excited for the work coming up. We do on the right have our visitor card QR code there, as well as information about giving online, as well as our prayer list. As always, any requests, please email me, and I'd be happy to add that for you. That's going to be it for our announcements. Let's go to our third song.
Our third song this morning, 410, Faith is the Victory. 410, 410, Faith is the Victory. Starting there on the first.
Encamped along the hills of life, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall pale the glowing skies. Against the foe in vales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know, that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory.
been good singing this morning. As the offering plates are being passed, turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter number 28.
Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and, behold, he goeth forth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. And when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these gathered here. Thank you for our church. I pray that you fill Pastor Oz with your spirit. Lord, help us keep distractions to a minimum. Apply the message to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 28, very famous passage here, starting verse 18. The Bible says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is what's known as the Great Commission. And the reason that it's called great there is not necessarily its physical size, though we do have a large job physically to accomplish, but it's talking about really its importance, that this is the most important thing that we have been commissioned or ordained or told to do by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it contains three parts here. First, it talks about teaching all nations. Now, that's talking about preaching the gospel, getting people saved. We'll prove that in another passage. But the second thing there is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's a very important part of the Great Commission. I don't think it's as important as getting people saved, obviously. But, you know, it's there. It's very important. And teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This would be talking about the edification of the saints, people going to church, being taught the whole Bible, all of God's commandments. You know, we've been ordained as Christians. Jesus left us this job. This is what he wants our church to be focused on primarily. And there's a lot of churches today where soul winning is nowhere near the top of the list of priorities. There's a lot of churches today, maybe they have soul winning, but let's be honest, the kids program takes precedence, the building fund takes precedence, a lot of other things is where their money and time and effort and energy is going into. But you know, this is the most important thing that Jesus highlights. This is the first works he talks about in Revelation. This is the thing that if churches don't do, Jesus is mad at them in Revelation saying, hey, I'm going to come and take your candlestick away. So, you know, this is really, really important. But this morning, I really want to focus on the first part of this Great Commission here, which is teaching all nations. And so the title of my sermon this morning is this, Having the Right Mindset on Missions. Having the right mindset on missions. Because, you know, our church, thank the Lord, we're about to be involved in a really great missions trip. And this is going to be the first missions trip that we're involved in as Anchor Baptist Church. And this trip traditionally has been extremely fruitful. It's a really fun time. It's just a great way to preach the gospel. And, you know, I want us to be making sure that our church has the right philosophy on missions, because I don't want to do just this one trip and be like, all right, let's check it off the box. We've done a missions trip. We're good. You know, this is something, Lord willing, that we want to do very often, that we want to do yearly in all sorts of different places across the world. And so we need to make sure we have a biblical mindset on this. So number one, missions should be focused on getting people saved. Now, I know that sounds like just the most obvious statement ever, but you'd be surprised if anyone has spent any time in the old IFB, what we affectionately call the old IFB, their missions program, I'm just going to say it is not primarily focused on getting people saved. And part of this, I think, is just the structure to how they have missionaries. A lot of churches, they don't just have like a dedicated guy that is responsible to them and is accountable to that church and that pastor that they're just supporting. You know, these missionaries, they go out on deputation where they just go from church to church to church and try to like sell them a pitch to get them to donate $10 a month, $20 a month, $50 a month. And the thing about that is, you know, if our church is putting a $10 a month investment into something, we're not really going to care about it as much as a church that's like fully supporting a guy or fully putting their name behind a guy and sending someone out into a different country. You're going to be a lot more invested in that model. So that's one way of doing it, is like sending a guy, singular, to go be an evangelist. Like an example of this would be evangelist Duncan Urbanek. Duncan Urbanek was a layman that attended Steadfast at the time that I moved there in 2020, and I think he was there till like 2022. And he just was really faithful for years and years. He was really helpful in the ministry. He had a great zeal for soul winning. He had a great family, really hard worker, really great preacher, great song leader. He's just a great guy. And so Pastor Shelley ordained him to go become an evangelist to the Philippines. And man, he has been doing a ton of great work for the Lord. Same thing with who is now Pastor Matthew Stuckey. He was once an employee of Verity Baptist Church, and he served there, I don't know, for years and years, 5, 6, 7 years or something like that. And then he got ordained as an evangelist, went to the Philippines, has planted like 3 or 4 churches, has been getting tens of thousands of people saved a year. And man, that's a great way to get a lot of work done in the Great Commission. Here's another way to do it, is do-it-yourself missions, where we as a church, you know, a whole bunch of people here are not necessarily ordained as an evangelist. It's not like you guys are going to go move to the Bahamas and spend the rest of your life, you know, serving in the Bahamas. But we're just of our own time, of our own resources, taking a week out of our life and just going and preaching the gospel. Let me tell you something. We can get a lot of people saved in that method. And it's kind of a shame to a lot of the missionaries of the old IFB, a lot of the evangelists that spend years and years on the mission field, and their results are nil, or their results are laughable compared to like a layman that actually just goes out for a week and works really, really hard. But why is it that our church and churches like us get those kind of results? Is because we understand this very, very basic point that the primary focus of missions should be on getting people saved, not on building huts, not on giving clean water, not on passing out food, not on building schools. I'm not saying those things are bad in and of themselves, but what the primary focus should be on a missions trip is preaching the gospel. Go to Mark chapter 16. We saw in Matthew 28, Jesus taught us to teach all nations. He gets a little more specific as to what that exactly means in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So now we're getting a clear picture of what he means by teach all nations. It's to preach the gospel. And you know what? For people to get saved, they need to be preached the gospel. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans chapter number 10 says. You know, we don't get people saved. We talked about this a little bit yesterday at our soul winning rally. We don't get people saved by this thing of lifestyle evangelism, where we kind of just show how wonderful we are and how great our family is and how nice and friendly we are. And we just have like this halo around us and this angelic glow that's just shining to the world saying, wow, there's something different about you. Wow, what is it that's different about your family? I want to come to Jesus. That's not how it works. You know what Jesus said works? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you know, we start here at home. This is why we go in Oklahoma City and we knock on people's doors and we give them an opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Why? Because that's how people get saved. That's how great works for God are done. It's not just from building a good church here in Oklahoma City that's going to reach people here with the gospel and just kind of hope that they come into church and just preach them down the aisle to do an altar call after the service. No, no, no. We're going to go reach them. We're going to go into all the world. And you know, it's kind of funny how a lot of churches, they'll have this mission program, which really is them giving $5, $10, $15 a month to some missionary. And they're so concerned about their mission program when they haven't even checked off step one of preaching in their neighborhood and preaching in their city and preaching in their state. And so look, I want to do missions, but in order to do missions, we need to be at least doing Oklahoma City first. It's not like we're just neglecting our city and then going to the Bahamas. No, no, no. We're going to go preach in Oklahoma City, and next Saturday, we're going to go preach in Anadarko, and we're going to constantly have soul winning marathons across this state and this country. And then on top of that, we're going to go preach the gospel to all the world. Look, that is what we should be focused on. I'm all for people going to Africa and helping starving people, giving them food. I think that's great. I think it's great to give people clean water or to build school or whatever it is that they're doing, but not at the expense of preaching the gospel. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Like, what does it profit for us to take our church money and go give some hungry kids in Africa some ham sandwiches as they die and go to hell? Like, how is that? Like, do you just pat yourself on the back at night, old IFB pastors? Like, do you just feel so great about that, that you spent some money to build some schools as they're going to hell? Let me tell you, the primary focus should be on preaching the gospel. And the reason why we should review this is because here's the thing. When we go on this trip, we are going to have a lot of fun. And I am for that, and we're going to have a whole point talking about that in a minute here. But you should have this mentality right now that, okay, it's going to be a fun trip. It's kind of be a vacation in a sense. But the primary thing that we are there to do is to work. The primary thing that we are there to do is to preach the gospel. And, you know, even my wife, we were discussing, like, back in January, hey, you know, what are we going to do? Let's schedule out our year. And we were kind of deciding back and forth. Are we going to go between the King James Conference at Sure Foundation, or are we going to go to the Bahamas Mission Trip? I said, hey, we could do one of these. We can't do both of these. And we both kind of wanted to do the Bahamas Mission Trip. But I just said, hey, you know, we've got young kids, and it's going to be tough. But here's the thing. If we go on this trip, we are going to be working hard. We are going to be preaching the gospel. We are going to be involved in all the events. You know, we're going to work extra hard and not let our kids be an excuse to hold us back from working hard. You know, hey, if you're planning on going on this trip, have the mindset to work, because this is what Jesus emphasized. The primary focus should be on the work. Now, if you've never been in the old IFB world, I tell these old IFB stories, and I understand some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. And so that's why last night I just found a random IFB missionary letter. Okay, and here's the thing. I don't know who this guy is. He could be a good guy. He could be saved. I'm not saying necessarily anything against him personally, but I just found a random missionary letter. And in the old IFB, you constantly get these missionary letters from these guys that you're paying 10 cents a month, and you're like sponsoring them. You're like, they're sending church or whatever. random guy, all right? So here's the thing. This one is not even the worst I've ever seen, because I just picked a random one. But I think this is a good sample of what these are looking like. Let me just read this prayer letter for you. It says this, in the last several months, we've had more visitors from outside of Italy visit our family than any other year since we have been here. So these are missionaries to Italy. All of the guests were tremendous and a huge blessing to us. Two of the visitors were some of our previous church members. We were also visited by one supporting pastor, one assistant pastor of a supporting church, and another assistant pastor. We thank especially Bethel Baptist Church for sending their pastor and his wife over for a whole week. It was a bit of a rough time for our family health-wise, but we were also grateful for the time that they gave us. Two of the preachers spoke in our church while they were here, and I know that our people were edified by their preaching. After all of that, we went down to Grosseto to participate in the first annual summer camp for kids, hosted by missionary Paul Childers. The camp was fun and uplifting for our kids. So notice the first half of this missionary letter. It's just like, hey, people came and visited us, and this one pastor ministered to us, and these two other guys came and preached for us, and we were like edified by their preaching. Oh, and then we went to this summer camp that was really fun for our kids. And it's like, wait a second, aren't you supposed to be ministering to the people of Italy? Like, aren't you ordained as a missionary to go and, I don't know, minister to them? Like, shouldn't you be visiting them and preaching for them? And shouldn't your kids be soul winning to them? And it's like, this is your missionary update. So this is the highlight. Like, this is the best of what's going on. Because obviously, if you're a missionary, you're going to update with the best stuff that's going on. Okay, well, this is the greatest stuff that happened in this evangelist's life. Pastors came and visited him. Ex-church members came and visited him. Assistant pastors came and preached for him. And his kids went to a summer fun camp. Wow, don't you just want to get your checkbooks out right now? I mean, you need to write this guy a $1,000 check. And you're going to be so rich in heaven because of all the work that he's doing. I mean, what is this? How is this, you know, a missionary here? He said, the camp was fun and uplifting for our kids. The first week was for younger children, and the second week was for teenagers and young adults. The first week was quite hot, with temperatures in the mid-90s all week. Wow, we really needed that detail. What was the temperature on your kids' summer camp? Oh, here's more money. Let me just help you out even more. What in the world? But the setup worked well, and everyone was able to stay cool for the most part. Our kids don't have a lot of other friends, and this was very good for them spiritually. So again, it's just like all about him and his family and his kids and how they're being benefited by everything. At the end of the first week of camp, there was a nationwide missionary gathering for the 4th of July. So he's a missionary. He's in Italy. And they're like, we're still celebrating Independence Day. Amen. We're having our 4th of July barbecue because I'm an American. It's like, come on, bro. You're in Italy. You don't need to update us on your 4th of July party. Wow. We sang a lot of songs, and Pastor Maeda taught about Baptist history in Italy. So what are you doing? It's just like, here's all these other things that everyone else is doing. These other pastors are teaching. What are you doing? Followed by a cookout. That's great. Last time we had a fellowship like this was in 2022. Amidst all the visitors, we have been able to plant and care for a garden for the first time in Italy. Man, aren't you so glad? This evangelist has planted a garden in Italy. That's the work of the Lord right there. Man, can you see why some people have a bitter taste in their mouth about missions and about evangelists? Because a lot of them are like this, lazy, not ministering to other people, not getting, you know, their worth of the church's money from them. He said this, I finished my master's program from Hiles Anderson College, which I started in 2011. We also had two baptisms at our church. Finally, we finally get one work for the Lord being done mentioned. You had two baptisms towards the end of your prayer letter. He said, both were single young men and who have attended for some time. We are excited for them and their future lives walking with the Lord. We are also reminded again about how thankful we are to have a portable baptistry. Just this last weekend, we were out preaching the gospel. Finally. We finally get to, you know, you're doing something here. Just this last weekend, we were out preaching the gospel one-on-one with people. And remember, he's going to give his best highlights. This is the best highlights that he's going to give us sending churches. We had a long but encouraging conversation with a young man named Alessandro. But an elderly lady shocked and saddened us when she said in all seriousness that Pope Francis was greater than Jesus. There is still so much work to do here, and the laborers are few. The end. Wow. So it's like, here's my missionary update. Man, a lot of people came and ministered to us. It was wonderful. Our kids went to a summer camp. It was hot, but we stayed cool for the most part. Don't worry. Kids don't have a lot of friends, so it's really nice that they had this spiritual boost. Also, I planted a garden. That was fantastic. And we had two baptisms, and we went out preaching the gospel. And here was the coolest thing. We had a long and encouraging conversation with one man who didn't get saved because he was interrupted by a demon-possessed Catholic woman saying that the Pope is greater than Jesus. I mean, aren't you excited for old IFB missions, folks? Wow. Here, and I literally just looked up IFB missionary letters. Like, I did not spend hours scouring for the funniest story or something like this. This is what's out there. This is the state of missions today in a lot of churches. Now, let me give you the 2024 recap letter from Pastor Matthew Stuckey in the Philippines. Let's see what a real evangelist looks like. And I'm not reading the whole thing. I'm just giving the highlights here. He said, "Greetings from the Philippines. We appreciate your prayer and support and want to update you on the exciting events that occurred during 2024. Since this newsletter is for the entire year, this will be formatted a little bit differently than other newsletters. During 2024, we had a total of 15,746 salvations between our four churches. Now, that's missions work right there. What's the difference between this random bozo and Pastor Matthew Stuckey? Pastor Stuckey understands point one of the sermon this morning, is that the primary focus of missions is preaching the gospel, not church camp, not your garden, not all you being ministered to. No, it's you going out and preaching the gospel. And when you get a spirit-filled man who really believes that and who's really going to put that into practice, you end up with getting 15,746 salvations in 1 year. And you know what? I believe that number. That's not video game numbers. I believe that number with the number of laborers they have and how receptive I've heard the Philippines is. This is not 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. This is thorough soul winners doing a good job, 15,000 plus salvations. Then he breaks it down by church. Salvation report, Verity Baptist Church, Manila, 11,938. VBC Pampanga, 2,083. VBC Bicol, I don't know if I'm saying that right, 1,042. VBC Warsaw, so that's in Poland, 683 salvations. That is great work for the Lord being done. Here's the thing. You know, we had two of our soul winners go out and spend a couple of months in the Philippines. These guys aren't even ordained. They're not evangelists. They're not taking a paycheck from churches where they need to update this prayer letter, this, you know, missionary update, okay? And in a couple of months, our two soul winners have had 1,152 salvations just for our church. Not talking about when they were also joining Verity and doing work with them. That's two guys in a few months, 1,152. You know, you could just make your prayer letters pretty short when you're getting those type of results. It's like, hey, thanks for praying for us. We've gotten this many people saved. The end. That's going to satisfy people. Because, you know, we actually care about reaching people with the gospel, not just paying people to, you know, avoid secular work. It's like a lot of missionaries, they just want to go into the ministry and become some sort of evangelist just because they're lazy. They just want to sit on their butt in a foreign country on a lifelong vacation, taking their kids to summer camps and playing in the garden while taking a paycheck for that. You know, it's insane. And I think that the old IFB needs to completely scrap their missions model, 100%. The idea of deputation needs to be absolutely destroyed. You know, but part of the problem is you got people just so into Bible college nowadays where they're not really accountable to any pastor or any church. Look, if you want to be a missionary, if you want to be an evangelist, this is what you should do. You should join a church that is on fire about soul winning, that cares about soul winning, that cares about reaching the lost. You should serve in that church for a long time, get proved, get tried in the fire, if you will. Serve, work super hard, be a blessing, become a better preacher, learn the ministry, and then get sent out if that's God's will for your life and do a great work for the Lord. That's one great option. Or here's another great option. Live your life here in Oklahoma City. Live your regular life and say, hey, once a year, I'm going to the Bahamas. Hey, once a year, I'm going to the Philippines. Once a year, I'm going to go do whatever mission trip is going on in the new IFB. over the span of your lifetime, you're going to get thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people saved if you're working super, super hard. And you could do a lot more as a layman making these once-a-year trips than a bunch of old IFB missionaries spending their whole life on the mission field. And so, you know what? I think that just laymen here, just people that go to church, I think that you could have great rewards in heaven and have great results if you just really internalize this first point, that the purpose of going on a missions trip is to work for the Lord and to preach the gospel. Let's go to, if you will, Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10. Number two this morning, missions should be geared towards receptive areas. Here is another philosophy that we differ from a lot of other churches on, is that the old IFB, they will just send people a lot of times to very unreceptive countries. And you know, you got the proverbial missionary to Israel, except it's not proverbial, it actually happens. There actually are those people. And it's like, it does not make sense to take our men, our good preachers, our soul winners, and send them to a place where they're going to be banging their head against the wall for the rest of their life. Now look, I'm not saying we could never, ever spend any time going to a place that's not as receptive as the Philippines or something like that. But I think that we should primarily focus our efforts on the poor, on the receptive, just like we do here in Oklahoma. Matthew 10, verse 11, Jesus said, and into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire in it who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Notice the mentality Jesus wanted his disciples to have. Hey, when you go to a city, when you go to a house, let your peace abide on it, right? You want to give them the benefit of the doubt. You're there to preach them the gospel. You're there to minister to them. But if they reject you, if they don't want you, he's saying, hey, shake the dust off your feet and leave. He's not saying, well, you know, give them 100 chances. Give them 200 chances. Try to build a personal relationship with them, and hopefully in 20 years, they'll get saved. No, he's saying, like, go to them, offer it to them. If they say no, bounce and leave. You know, this is even what we do on a micro level here in Oklahoma City. When we knock on a door, if someone is not interested, we are ready to go to the next door. And, you know, I don't like it when people are just sitting there and they just have to argue with every single person and they just have to shove their foot in the door and they have to preach to every person, even if they're not interested. You're wasting your time. And let me tell you something, it's not biblical. It's not what Jesus wants you to do. Jesus wants us to take the little amount of time that we have in our lives and go to those that are receptive. Go to Acts chapter number 13 and let's take a look at Paul's first missionary journey, obviously very applicable with what we're talking about here. Acts chapter number 13, verse number 38. Acts 13, 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So just to give you some context here, what is Paul doing? He's preaching the gospel. He's fulfilling the Great Commission here. He's on a missionary journey. This is his first missionary journey. And what is he doing? He's preaching the gospel, verse 40. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So here we have a dividing line that occurred. Paul's out. He's preaching the gospel. The Jews are what? They're not listening really. But the Gentiles, they're beseeching him that the words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. What is that? That is receptivity. The Gentiles here are the ones that want to hear the gospel, that want to believe on Jesus Christ, that want to hear the word of God preached unto them. And so it would be wise, obviously, for Paul in this situation to go back and keep preaching to the Gentiles, which is, of course, what God wanted him to do. And, you know, even here in Oklahoma City, I often pray, Lord, please lead us to people that are receptive. Please lead us to people that want to hear the gospel, because I'm not trying to just waste my time. I don't want to just knock on the door of every, you know, Orthodox Jew. That would be a really crappy soul winning time. It's just like Orthodox Jew, Orthodox Jew, Orthodox Jew. You're not getting people saved, folks. Maybe, you know, once in 10 years. But, you know, when you run into a bunch of Baptists or Catholics or evangelicals, these people are a lot more easy to get saved. And so we want to reach people that are receptive. Verse 43, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day, notice, came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. So that's obviously a great positive sign that, you know, not all people are the same when it comes to receptivity. Not all areas are as receptive as others. This is even true in the U.S. You know, I've lived in California, Idaho, Washington, and you could get people saved over there. I'm not doubting that whatsoever. There's churches doing great works for the Lord over there. God bless those people. They're doing a great work. But I'm just saying, Oklahoma is way more receptive than Idaho and Washington and California. It's not even questionable. And so, hey, I thank God that we live in a place like that. We should not take that for granted. We should do great works here in Oklahoma. And if we say, hey, we want to spend some time and money and resources and effort and energy to go into the world to do what we do here, why don't we pick a place that's more receptive than Oklahoma even? If those places exist, why would we not want to go there first? Verse 45, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So the Bible's making it very, very clear here, and unless you just deny reality, this is so obvious, that the Gentiles are way more receptive than the Jews. And guess what? It was that way in the New Testament when these events were taking place. It's that way now. It is a foolish endeavor to take a good preacher, a good soul winner, and be like, let's send him to Israel. Let's send him to the Jews. No, no, no. They're the exact same way as they are then. They see the multitudes. They're filled with envy. They speak against those things which were spoken by Paul. The Bible says in the New Testament that concerning the gospel, that they're enemies. They're enemies according to the work of God. The Jews are. We wouldn't want to go to them first. Now, here's the thing. Of course, we still love the Jews. We still want to get them saved. If I knock on the door of a Jew here in Oklahoma City, I'm going to lovingly try to give that person the gospel. And man, I haven't gotten a Jew saved before, but I would love to do that someday. That'd be wonderful. I've gotten Muslims saved. I've gotten Hindus saved. You know, I believe that there are Jews out there that can get saved, but why would we go to them as our primary focus? Doesn't make sense. It's foolish. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves, notice, unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So Paul, the greatest missionary who's ever lived, he agrees with my point this morning that we should spend our time going to the receptive areas. Now, here's the thing. Paul, because he had such a love for his brothers and he loved the Jews personally, he kind of had this blind spot where he's saying the right thing here, but his actions didn't always line up. He's like, man, I'm done with you Jews. I'm going to the Gentiles. You flip the page, he's going to keep trying to get the Jews saved. And finally, the Holy Ghost is going to like have to forbid him to keep doing all these trips with the Jews here. But he's saying, hey, it's necessary that they came to the Jews first, but they've judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And today, the Gentiles, the world, the non-Jews of this world, is where we should be spending our time and energy and focus on places like the Bahamas. But the Bahamas is an extremely receptive country, and the people there are very respectful towards the Word of God. Everyone there is King James only, which is amazing. Like, all the kids are King James only. You go and you preach in the public schools there, which, Lord willing, we'll be able to do that. King James Bible verses on the wall. All the ladies are skirts and dresses. The young men are, like, shirts and ties and school uniforms, and they're respectful, and they listen to you, and they love the preacher. They pay attention to the preacher. That sounds like a great place to preach the gospel. And so, man, get excited to get a lot of people saved, because if you come with us to the Bahamas, we are going to a receptive place. If you've never been on a mission trip, you are going to be blown away, because here's the thing. If all you've experienced is Oklahoma, you don't know what you don't know. So I've experienced like Vancouver, Washington, California, Idaho. I come to Texas, Oklahoma. I'm like, the soul winning here is amazing. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. Then you go to the Bahamas and it's a whole different level. So I'm excited for you guys to experience that. Look at verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Notice the result. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. So when you actually stop banging your head against the wall, going to the Jews, and you turn towards the receptive people, the result is the word of the Lord is spread throughout all the region. That's what's happening in the Philippines right now. All sorts of different islands are getting tons of people saved there, tons of new churches starting there. So look, we need to go to the receptive countries first. Let's focus on Mexico. Let's focus on the Bahamas. Let's focus on the Philippines, you know, before we go to Iceland, before we go to Afghanistan, before we go to North Korea or Norway. And look, I'm not saying that we can never touch any of these areas, but what I am saying is the majority of our efforts should be focused on receptive areas. There's a lot of really zealous soul winners at Faithful Word where they're not ordained evangelists, but they kind of just go out throughout all the world all the time. They're going on these cruise mission trips, and they've done a whole bunch in the Caribbean and just in these really receptive parts of the U.S. But I saw they're doing one in Northern Europe soon. Hey, I'm not against that. You can get people saved in Northern Europe. I've gotten someone saved in Germany. There's soul winning clubs in Germany getting lots of people saved. But here's the thing. They're not going to Northern Europe every time. You know, they're going to the Bahamas a lot. They're going to the Caribbean islands a lot. Then, hey, we're going to go do a Northern Europe trip too. I'm not judging anyone that goes to a place that's not as receptive as the Philippines, okay? But we get the idea. We should focus on those things. And this would be the exception, I would think. Let's say you're already in an unreceptive country. Let's say, like, hey, I'm Joe Blow living in Norway, and I live here, and I love the people here, and I want to see a great work of God being done here. I wouldn't be against that person, of course, getting hooking up with another church and starting a great work for God in their area. That's great. But if you're going to move somewhere to be a missionary, you should choose somewhere receptive. I even looked at it this way with pastoring. I'm not from Oklahoma City. I didn't grow up here. But hey, if I'm going to uproot my family and move to a place to be a pastor, I want to move to a place that's very receptive. And you know, there was a lot of different places that were on the table for me. But one of the greatest things about Oklahoma is how receptive this place is. And hey, if I'm going to be in the ministry and work and do the work of God my whole life, I want to do it in a place where I could actually get a lot done. I don't want to go move to San Francisco, California, just because I'm moving. You know what I mean? Like, I want to live in a receptive area. Go to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. Verse number 6, it says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So notice, the Holy Ghost is guiding them of where to go, where not to go. Why? Because God doesn't want us wasting our time in unreceptive areas. Again, this is why it's important to pray that God leads us to receptive people. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So, you know, I believe that the Spirit of God is heavily involved, obviously, in missions work. And here, Paul has his idea of where he's going to go, what he's going to do. But in certain situations, the Spirit suffered him not. The Spirit didn't want him to go there. Why? Because there was people in Macedonia that were calling out, that were wanting to hear the gospel. And so we should always be praying and being sensitive to God's leading us, that God would, you know, open the right doors for us. Let's say, you know, for example, a place I would like to go someday is Uganda. I would love to go preach the gospel in Uganda. Why? Man, because they have a really cool president that says, why are you gay? okay? You are gay. You guys know what I'm talking about? The funny video on YouTube? Yeah, you know, they don't like the LGBT over there. And I'm like, you know what? I like you guys. I want to go get you saved and preach you the gospel. And it's funny. I was doing some research, like, is it safe for Americans to go visit Uganda? And it was saying, like, oh, man, there's a U.S. Department travel advisory against traveling to Uganda because of how they treat the LGBT. I'm just like, sign me up, man. I want to go to Uganda even more now. But here's the thing. So, you know, I have a personal desire to someday go to Uganda, and I'm going to pray. God, lead us to countries that are receptive. Lord, if this is a good opportunity, open the right doors for us to be able to do that. And we want to be sensitive to God opening and closing those doors. And if God opens the door to Uganda someday, and we're able to do that, praise God. And if we go to the Bahamas, praise God. You know, and if I'm just like, man, you know, I just really want to go to Norway someday because, you know, that's where my ancestors are from, and that door just stays closed, well, then we just need to be sensitive to that. You know what I mean? Because here, this man of Macedonia, he's praying, he's calling out, and God is working on the other side. This man in Macedonia, he's not seeing this happen, but God's working on the other side of the situation here, and he's moving Paul, and he's guiding Paul, and he leads Paul to him. You want to know why I think the Bahamas is getting so many great soul winners? Because the people there are hungry for the Word of God. You want to know why the Philippines are getting such great pastors and evangelists and soul winners? It must be because people are crying out and asking for God and asking for wisdom and asking for the gospel, and the Holy Spirit is leading people to do that. God is definitely involved in this. Go back to Acts 13. Number three, when it comes to having the right mindset on missions, if you're going to do missions, expect opposition. Expect opposition. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I'm preaching this now, months in advance of this missions trip. Because let me tell you something, spiritual warfare is very, very real. And if we're going to go endeavor to do a great work for God, you should expect opposition. Look at Acts 13, verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. One thing I want to point out of that verse is that they are perfectly in the will of God here. He's being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Paul's not doing anything wrong. He's on the right track. He's doing the right thing. Verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So notice, Paul and the soul winners that are with him, they are right with God. They are doing exactly what God wants them to be doing. They're out preaching, and here's this false prophet, this Jew, this sorcerer, who is about to get in the way of a guy who wants to hear the word of God. Notice how it said he wanted to get the word of God there. Notice verse 8. But Eliamus, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And let me tell you something. If you go out and you desire to do a great work for God, the devil is not going to take that lying down. The devil will oppose you. The devil will try to stop us. And you know, I've had situations very similar to this happen to me, specifically in the Bahamas, where I remember one time I was soul winning with Brother Ben, and I walked up to these three people. They were probably in their young 20s, and man, they were so receptive, so respectful. I was towards the end of my gospel presentation. Things were going great, but this super wicked false prophet came up and was just being unbelievably loud and just screaming and just getting in my face and just not allowing me to continue. And I literally thought the guy was going to physically attack me. Like, he was so angry and just so bombastic. And it was so distracting, I could no longer preach to these people. I mean, I screamed at this guy. I rebuked this guy. The guy wouldn't leave. I could no longer preach to these people. So the only thing I could really do is just play interference while Ben was preaching the gospel. And, you know, obviously in that situation, it happens. You can do what you can do. And at least the people that Ben was preaching to got saved. But here's the thing. Those three people, I believe that those people would have gotten saved. But what happened? The devil's coming after us. You have to realize that you're not going to just be unopposed. We're not just going to waltz into the Bahamas and waltz into the Philippines and just waltz into thousands and thousands of salvations and expect no problems, no stress, no issues, no people coming after us. I'm not saying for sure bad stuff will happen, but what I'm saying is you should expect that. You should be ready for that and not be surprised if it happens. Notice Paul's reaction. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now, this is the right reaction to have. Not just someone who's a little confused, doesn't understand, but someone who's just wicked, who's trying to turn away other people from the faith. You have my full backing to rebuke the fire out of that person for the sake of the individuals listening. It's not like you're going to convince him, this guy's a reprobate you're dealing with, this guy's wicked you're dealing with, but hey, I wanted those three kids to know that this person's a false prophet, teaching lies, going to hell, not teaching the right thing. And hey, notice that Paul did this when he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Not this, you know, new evangelical style of Christianity who probably would come give him a hug and, well, just let's pray for you, brother, you know, it's okay. No, no, no. There's a time to rebuke. And when people are turning away others from the gospel, that's a time to rebuke. And of course, you got to be strategic with this too, because keep in mind, what's your soul winning partner doing? Is he involved in a gospel presentation? You may sometimes just need to play interference and just talk to this retard for a few minutes while your soul winning partner gets him saved. Obviously, if Ben wasn't preaching the gospel, I would have just left that guy and come back to those three later, found him later. Notice says in verse number 11, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Man, I wish I could do that. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, you ever had a situation like that where some devil's trying to turn people away from the gospel? Wouldn't it be nice to just be like, blind, you know? But, you know, you could at least pray. And there's this thing in the Bible called imprecatory prayers. And boy, lately have I seen those prayers come to fruition. So don't be afraid to send those up to the Lord. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. What are some ways that the devil might come after you at a missions trip? Well, one is like false prophets, like we just talked about. When you're out soul winning, you may expect this to happen to you, for false prophets to come at you, get in your face, get angry. Prepare yourself for that now mentally. Here's another thing that could happen, persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, of our brothers in the New IFB that have done lots of missions work, there has been people that have suffered persecution. You know, I think about the trip to, what was the trip? Was it Guyana? I think there was I forget exactly what country it was in Africa, but Pastor Anderson and multiple other soul winners literally got arrested and deported. Now, look, I'm not expecting for us to get arrested and deported in the Bahamas, but here's the thing. You should just realize, hey, anything can happen. And so why I'm preaching this now is so that we can all fervently, consistently pray that things go well, that God opens that door for us wide, that the gospel can just thrive over there unhindered from persecution, and so that you could mentally prepare yourself now of how you're going to handle that. Are you going to be steadfast? Are you going to stand if that happens? Again, I'm not trying to scare you away from doing a missions trip. I want you to come. I don't anticipate anything bad happening in the Bahamas, but it can happen, okay? I'm not going to lie to you. It can happen. You should be ready. Here's another thing that could happen in anticipation for a missions trip, and that is spiritual attacks. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Spiritual attacks. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. He's saying, hey, be aware, be sober, have a clear mind and clear thoughts about the reality that the devil does walk about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And again, we're talking about this months in advance because now is the time that the devil would love to come after Anchor Baptist Church, Steadfast Baptist Church. Now is the time where the devil would love to come and tempt you to sin, tempt you to get backslidden from church, tempt you to stop reading your Bible, stop soul winning, stop praying. Now is the time when the devil would love to sow division and discord in our church and cause us to be at odds one with another. And look, I'm not aware of any of that stuff happening right now, but I'm saying if it's going to happen, now would be the time. Now would be the time, you know, you might start fighting with your wife. Now is the time where finances might start hitting you bad. Now is the time it might be rough in your marriage, your child rearing. So what I'm saying is, hey, all that stuff, spiritual attacks is real. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're in a spiritual battle. So now, in anticipation of our trip, you need to remain steadfast. Now is not the time to stop reading your Bible, to stop soul winning, to ease off the gas. Now is the time to stay unmovable and realize that it's super, super important so that we don't give the devil an advantage over us. Go to Isaiah chapter 65. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And you know, these spiritual attacks, while I said that right now I think everything is good, I do believe that some of the things that have been happening over the last few months, some of the situations that I know about that's going on out there in Christians' lives, I do think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that the new IFB, our church, other churches are doing a great work for the Lord and are striving to do greater works for the Lord. And like I said, the devil's not going to take that lying down. So we got to be vigilant. We have to be steadfast. Number four, when it comes to having the right missions on, right mindset rather, on missions, number four, don't be a holier than thou on a missions trip. Please don't be a holier than thou on a missions trip. I'll explain what I mean by that. Go to Isaiah 65, verse 3. The Bible says, "A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day." And while these people are involved in a false religion, super wicked individuals, let me tell you something. Christians can also get this mentality sometimes. This attitude of, you're different, you're in a different class, I'm so much better than you, stand thou over there, for I am holier than thou. And unfortunately, one of the times this mindset really rears its ugly head is on mission trips. Sometimes there's people that do not go on these trips from a sincere heart of wanting to serve God and do good and preach the gospel and be a part of the team. Some people go on these trips to show others how awesome they are and how, oh, you only went soul winning for 6 hours? Well, I went for 12. Oh, you know, you guys are going to spend an hour going down to the beach? Wow, you're so carnal. You're so worldly. Oh, you guys are eating food? I'm fasting because I'm so much more godly than you, and I'm soul winning 14 hours a day. Never have that attitude. That attitude will be rebuked harshly. Because you know what? I'm not trying to get people to spend their time, money, effort, and resources to go on this missions trip just to have a bad taste in their mouth from people judging them and, you know, being a holier than thou. And I know people personally who they went on their first missions trip and it sucked because people were like this. And it's like, bro, I went out soul winning for 6 hours. Why are you being like this? Or, you know, sometimes what people will do is they'll tell you to go preach the gospel to someone. It's like, you know, you're at the line in an airport and they're like, hey, you see that person there? You know, you should go preach the gospel. It's like, bro, it sounds like God's calling you to do that. I mean, it sounds like the Holy Spirit just put that on your heart. Don't do that to people. Don't have that holier-than-thou attitude. And look, while I said, go back to point one, what's the primary reason we're over there? To work. To preach the gospel. I told my wife, hey, we've got young kids, but we're working. We're soul winning. We're going to do the work of God. But you know what we're also going to do? We're also going to have fun. We're also going to have the best time. Our church is going to have great fellowship and camaraderie and time together. And look, that is super important as well. Because you know what's better than someone going on one missions trip, hating it, and never going again? Is someone maybe going soul winning an hour less than the holier than thou, or 2 hours less than the holier than thou, having such a great time that they want to go every year. I mean, what are we going to do more for God is if we get people to go to the Bahamas once a year, once every 2 years, or we just burn everyone out from being holier than thou. And let me say this also. I'm not trying to dampen anyone's fire. If you feel called to go soul winning for 14 hours in the Bahamas, knock yourself out. Like, I am for you. I'm not against you. I'm not even trying to make you feel bad. But don't you dare try to make other people feel bad for wanting to go and swim in the ocean and hang out and go to the nice restaurants and hit the jet ski and do all that fun stuff. And let me just tell you, I want to do that stuff. Oh, Pastor Oz is so carnal, I'm leaving the church. Okay, then leave then. But I'm going to the Bahamas, and I'm going to go preach the gospel and work really hard and also have fun. Amen. And I want my wife to have fun. I want my kids to have fun and have great memories. And I want all of you to have fun and work at the same time. But man, people could just ruin the spirit of a trip real fast by being holier than thou's. Do not do it. Don't be too cool to take a break. Don't be too cool to eat food. Don't be too cool to hang out with God's people. You know, we need to do both of these things. Go to Numbers 11. Proverbs 13, verse 10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Don't go causing contention on a mission trip. And this is what I mean. This is like the spiritual warfare that I'm talking about, that the devil could get an advantage of us, is by just sowing division through some prideful jerk, being a holier than thou. Do not be that person. Number 5, having the right mindset on mission, do not complain on a missions trip. Do not complain. Look at Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna," you know, beside this God-given manna from heaven, "before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium." So notice, these people are complaining. God hates it. He's displeased with it. He sends the fire of the Lord and starts killing people. Moses prays, it quenches, and then the children of Israel, they fall a-lusting, they start complaining about the manna that God gave to them, and there's nothing wrong with the manna. It's got to be really good. It's made by God. It's a miracle from heaven. And what are they doing? They're complaining about how they don't get the garlic, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions. Don't be a complainer in life. Just in general, don't be a complainer in life. Especially if you live in Oklahoma in America, like you have nothing to complain about. Why don't you focus on the positive and thank God for all the blessings? But let me tell you something, especially on a missions trip, do not complain. And let me tell you why. Having planned one of these trips before and planned all the logistics of these trips before, this is a very hard event to plan and hard to run. And this year, it's going to be way harder, because I think there's going to be way more people than there was last time. Last time, I think there was about 60. I would not be surprised if it was doubled that time. I mean, practically our whole church is going. Practically all of Steadfast is going. I'm sure people from other churches are going as well. But hey, Pastor Shelley, Evangelist Furr, any person that Pastor Shelley delegates authority to over there, when they tell you to do something, do it. Don't complain. Don't backtalk. They're saying, hey, here's the part of the city you're going to preach the gospel there. You just say, yes, sir, and go. If you are getting lodging paid for you by someone else, do not complain about your lodging. If you're getting a meal paid for you, do not complain about your food or anything like that. Now, here's the thing. If you're going on your own dime and you're bankrolling your own trip, you do whatever you want. You go soul winning as much as you want. You go have fun as much as you want. You go to whatever restaurant you want. You do anything that you want. You're paying for it. Absolutely. I'm not against you. But here's the thing. If you are taking of other churches' generosity to pay for you to go preach the gospel, you know, go work hard, preach the gospel, go where they say to go, and do not complain. That is another way that could just really ruin the spirit of this trip. And, you know, a lot of people, maybe there's been some people in time past that have had this attitude where it's like, all right, cool. The church is going to pay for me and my family to go fly there, to have the rental car, to have the housing, to have the food. And it's like, but, you know, I don't really want to go soul winning, though, because I have kids. And it's like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Like, someone's paying for you to do this. Don't be a moochinary like the old IFB. Go out there, work hard, don't complain. You know, stay on schedule. Stay on schedule, young single guys who always seem to have the worst ability to stay on schedule, which doesn't make any sense. Like on a mission trip, I'm always expecting, all right, this family with 12 kids, they're going to be late. We're going to have to wait. No, they're early. They're on time. It's like the single guys rolling out of bed, always late. It's like, bro, be respectful. Be considerate. When there's something that starts at a certain time, be there on time at these missions trips. Be considerate of other people. Think about how you could help other people. You're getting ready in the morning, help people pack their waters and all that stuff. Man, you need to be considerate of other people. Go back to Matthew 28. We'll go ahead and close Matthew 28. Matthew 28, look at verse number 19. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Let me tell you something. Anchor Baptist Church, we take the Great Commission seriously. We value this as a church. This is our primary focus here in Oklahoma City, in this state. And man, I am excited for this church to finally break into the new realm of preaching in all the world. I hope you're excited for it. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to do a great work for God with those of you that are coming. But look, I hope you're preparing now. That's why I'm preaching this sermon. Right now, you need to prepare mentally for the possibility of what could come. You need to be preparing spiritually, staying right with the Lord. Don't get prideful. Don't go be a complainer. Don't start division in the church. Don't stop reading your Bible. And I'll even say this, now would be a good time to prepare physically as well. Because if you've never been on a missions trip, it is hard work physically. And I've kind of been preparing for this like since January. Look, when you're out there, the Bahamas is so stupidly hot, it's not even funny. It's super hot. See, I'm scaring you again. I see some faces. All right, don't be scared. Still come with us, all right? It's very hot. It's very humid. We're walking around all day. Hey, prepare, right? Maybe you need to start running, all right? Maybe you need to start going on some evening walks or walk around even in the heat of the day. Get hydrated. Start eating healthy. Because, you know, I would hate for someone to go on this trip and it's like their health is the limiting factor. You want to get over there and enjoy yourself. You want to get over there and do a great work for God. And look, we're going there to work. We're going there to get tons of people saved. And you know what? We're also going to go have some fun. I'm going to go enjoy the beach. I'm going to go snorkel with the little fishies. Last time I was snorkeling and I didn't realize this one fish that I was chasing. What was the name of that fish? I give you permission to speak. Do you remember? Barracuda. That's right. I didn't know what a barracuda was. I'm like chasing this little fish underwater and all of a sudden it turns around and shows me its teeth. I was like, oh, I'm chasing the wrong fish right here, you know? But I'm excited to chase the barracuda again. I'm excited to hit the jet ski. I'm excited to hit the good food. Hey, I want you to join me with that. No holier than thou attitude. No complaining. Let's go do a great work for the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the great opportunity that we have in America to be able to go on these trips, to be able to send missionaries. I pray that you would just constantly give our church the heart and the desire and the resources to get lots of people saved here in Oklahoma City, but not just here, Lord. I pray that we would always have a missions mindset. I pray that we would be able to send out our own evangelists someday to do great works for God in other countries. I pray that people in this room would be blessed financially, personally, that they would be able to use their money to go on these trips and get people saved. I pray that everything would go smoothly for the Bahamas missions trip, that you would help Steadfast in their planning and in the logistics needed for this. And I just pray that we would have a wide open door to have a great work done for you in the Bahamas in October. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Last hymn this morning is number 134, My Anchor Holds. Hymn number 134, 134, My Anchor Holds. There on the first.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul,
you are dismissed.